think that was the AM version. You have to know music to understand AM. Never mind. God is good, amen? We'll stand up and pray together this morning to our Father. Our Father. We're going to pray to our Father. I believe for miracles. I believe that God pours down blessings on the people who call His name. I believe that God blesses those that search for Him, that seek Him, that their lives are changed. You're still going to have trials and tribulations, but I believe lives are changed for those who follow God. Amen? And He lives in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. That's our Father in heaven. Stay standing and sing with Gene 393. Rejoice. The Lord is King. Your Lord is King. No, that was great. 1 and 4, that's right. Dominic, Nelly, Ilana, good to see you. How many would ever think 10 years ago you'd come to church on a day that's 90 degrees out? Especially in a church that didn't have air conditioning, amen? Do you know the sacrifice you do for God? Do you know that you love Him enough that you want to come here and support each other, support your church and your pastor? I say give yourself praise today. Give yourself praise today. Go ahead, make a praiseful sound to the Lord. Hallelujah. This is just... All right, Responsive reading, 126, Marilyn picked it out. Let's read it together. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. The Lord is doing great things in this church. Hallelujah. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Hallelujah. That's the promise of who? For who? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Last week we talked about two people. For those of you that weren't here, the traveling wheelbarrows, we talked about Noah and we talked about Abraham. Right in the beginning in the Bible, amen? Right in the beginning, two people who were like who? Us. doing what? Things for God, amen, who followed God. Did they have perfect lives? No. Were they perfect people? No. But what happened to them when they followed God, when they really walked with God? Abraham had riches, had wealth, had prosperity, unbelievable, amen. Noah, the same thing, wealth, and all those things that God did for Noah. And there's other people like Joseph. How many remember Joseph in the Bible? His family sold him to where? Slavery, to bondage. Yet he was taken to a foreign country, to unbelievers. And what did God do? Because he looked to God, God raised him up in a land of unbelievers to where he had power and he had wealth. Can you believe that? Can you go to a place that nobody believes God and God lift you up? You say, that's a miracle, Kim. That's an absolute miracle. And that happened to Joseph, amen? And it happened to David. How many remember King David? Y'all remember King David? What did he do? He was an adulterer. He was a sinner. Anybody here a sinner? Hallelujah. But he knew one thing. He knew one thing. He knew God. And he knew God right here because God said he was a man after his own heart, Sergio. And he knew that if he got on his knees and repented, not only would God bless him and free him from that sin, but he would raise him up even higher. And he did. He raised David up to be a king. Amen. So we went all the way to the back and to the beginning in the book. We talked from page one saying if you just simply follow God in your lives, whatever you're going through in your lives, you just focus on God saying this is a bad day. I'm really hurting today. I'm really worried today. But if I focus on God, he will raise me up. Amen. Today is August the 13th. Is that what it is, Marilyn? 14th. How many of you were worried about something on May the 12th? How many of you were worried about something on June the 10th? Amen? And here you are in August. So all that worrying did you what? But all your faith in God and all your walking got you to August 14th. Amen? So today is the day to release all the other worries and say, you know what? God will help me handle the situations I'm facing because it says so in the Bible. Amen? That's what the Bible studies are for. That's what church is for. Church isn't for me to stand here and read something to you, ask you for your money and send you on your way. Church is for me to make you stronger in the Lord. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And today we're going to go to the back of the Bible. Last week we went to the front of the Bible. Today we're going to the back of the Bible, right to Revelation. Anybody ever read Revelation? It's a crazy book. Hallelujah. And you know who wrote Revelation? John. John. The one whom Jesus loved. That's what it says. In all the disciples didn't even call him John. They just said the one whom Jesus loved. Why did they say that about Jesus? Because John wanted to be with Jesus. Amen. John had one focus. One focus. If Jesus was here, I wanted to lay on his lap. If Jesus was here, I wanted to talk to him. So God, Jesus was able to say, John, sit down and have the most wonderful conversation. How many of y'all got best friends? Amen. You got best? And I bet your best friend knows more about you than everybody else. Amen. Well, guess who's John's best friend was while he was here? It was Jesus. And Jesus was able to tell him things about the creation and tell him things, all these wonderful things that Peter and Paul, maybe they'd like to know, and James might have wanted to know, and Matthew, but Elaine, they were too busy doing things. And John was saying, no, I want to know about things. And because he was like that, God, who was able to tell John about the future in the book of Revelation. And I read a lot about Revelation, and here's what I come up with. If you meet somebody, and I'm going to put it out here, Jake, Greg, if you meet somebody that says they understand Revelation completely, run away. Run away. Because it's not meant for us to understand it all. And here's the beautiful part of that. John did not understand it all. But God trusted that he would write it down exactly the way the angel told him to. And John was writing about lampshades and all seven creatures. And he must have been saying, this is crazy, but I'm going to write it just the way God told me to write it. And why? Because God knew that he could trust who? John. You see? And now we're talking about God in Revelation is going to talk about seven churches, Jim. And let me tell you about the word church. There's no such word church in the Bible. In the Greek, and how many know that the Bible's passed down? I know Dominic knows. It's passed down in Greek and Hebrew. Amen. Two languages passed down in Greek and Hebrew. Amen. And so you have to find a word that coincides with that. And the Greek word is ecclesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. And that's a Greek word that sort of means assembly. Amen. Like you're doing today. Assembly, gathered together. And we call it church, amen? But you have to understand when John was writing this, that he was on an island. How many remember the island of Patmos? That's where he was exiled there. By who? The Roman Empire. For what? Preaching who? Preaching about Jesus. The Roman Empire? How could that be? I want you to understand history. He was sent there. He was the last disciple. He was the last apostle that we knew. There were other apostles, but these were the last of the 12. John was sent there. It was a little island. If you saw off the coast of Asia, by the way, it's about 7.5 miles long, probably 6 miles wide at that. That's where he was sent there because they didn't want him to talk about Jesus to anybody anymore. Amen? And he was alone there, and that's where God really... I mean, I'm telling you, when you're alone, wherever you're alone, God can really talk to you. Dominic, do you find that out when you're flying in an airplane and it's just you and saying, I hope you know, praying that God can really start getting to you. If you start listening to God and reading his word. So John was there. Hallelujah. And all these things were happening around. All these Christians were being killed. They were being murdered. Hallelujah. The emperor at that time, his name was Titus Flavius Domitianus. That was his name. And they call him Emperor Domitian. He was the emperor. It was around 81, 90, somewhere B.C. that he was the emperor that sent John to Patmos. And you say, well, why is this important? Because you need to understand history. You need to understand that the Roman Empire destroyed Nero. If you read about Nero, the empire, he would burn Christians at the stakes. He would pour oil over them, set them out in the courtyard for light. For lights in the courtyard and ride his chariots around them. And it got worse with Domitian. Hallelujah. That they just, it was 300 years. How many know that? It was 300 years before one Roman emperor agreed with Christianity, became a Christian. His name was Flavius Valerius Aurelius Constantinus Augustus. That was his name. They called him Constantine the Great. And that was 300 years after Jesus, before the first Roman emperor accepted Christianity. 300 years. Amen? So this is what John was facing. Are you with me? He was facing this. And again, the word church. So when he talks about the seven churches, we all picture what? A building. We like this building, or St. Mary's, or St. Michael's. It wasn't like that because you couldn't have a building, Pat. You couldn't, because if they gathered together, guess what the Roman Empire did? They went and destroyed it, burned it down, and killed them all. So they met in people's basements. They met in people's attics. They met on back street. They all, to do one thing, Sergio, to read the Word of God. That's what they did. That's where they went. That's what they did to do that. They had that, no choice. So when you hear about seven churches, understand it was an area. Each church was an area of people. And God spoke to these churches. Through who? John. And remember this. Remember when we do the Lord's Supper, and I always tell you that the disciples had no idea what Jesus was talking about. He said, this is my bread, eaten, and this is my blood. And they're looking at him saying, okay, but did they understand it? No, they didn't, because it hadn't happened yet. Even at the cross. How many remember the cross? Amen? Who was at the cross? John was at the cross. Did he understand? He didn't understand it then. But he was there. You understand? So the understanding wasn't, but the faith was there. Amen? You understand that their faith was on God. They even doubted the resurrection because they were scared after the cross. Who were the first two people that went to the tomb? Was it men? No. It was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of God. Amen. They were the ones that went to the tomb. So where's this going, Pat? I'm just saying, you have to understand history and understand where God is and understand your place with God. You can be the Noah. You could be the Abraham of 2016. You could be the Joseph of 2017. Who can be? You can be. You can be. Hallelujah. You can be that if you focus on God. You can be a light that draws people to you for who? Because of God. And that's what it's all about. That's what church is all about. Are you with me? That's why you get excited when you come to church, because it's about you. It's not about a denomination. There's no word in there. There's nothing. It's about Christ. You can go to any church. If they focus on Christ, you're in the right place. Amen? If you go to a church and they talk about Jesus and read the word and you're getting fed, that's where God planted you to be. But if you go to church every Sunday and you leave there the same as you were the day before, then you haven't gone anywhere. Amen? Hallelujah. You're all with me. How many want to receive blessings from God? How many? You really want? How many really want that? Last week we went to the beginning. I'm going to go to the end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is his testimony. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. To who? Hallelujah. Because he trusted John. He trusted him. He knew where John's heart was. Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. How many want to be blessed by God? I got two lines for you. You want to be blessed? Here it is. Blessed is he. Is who? Hallelujah. Who's he? Who reads? Oh, and those who hear the words of this prophecy. And keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. You want to be blessed by God? It's that simple. Blessed is he who reads the word of God. You are blessed and who hear the word of God. And keep those things in your heart. Amen? Those are those who are blessed. And here's John talking to you. John talking to Second Congregational. Big news on the Evening Sentinel. I guess we don't have that anymore. Bridgeport Post, front page tomorrow. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, listen to what God says, what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And he mentions the churches. Now remember what I said to you, church. It wasn't one building, amen? He's saying, send these letters to each area. And he was, it's so cool. These letters to each church are lessons and they're blessings. And he's also telling them, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. Amen. I know what church I want to be of the seven. I know where I want God to be. I want him to come here and see faithful people. I want him to come and see people on fire for him. I want him to come here and see people's lives changing. For who? For God. Amen. Why? Because of God. Amen. That's what I want. I want him to see a church on fire for God. Because the blessings will pour. We can't even control. We can't stop them and they'll be sore. How many know that the blessings would be amazing? Amen? Are you with me? I love this. How many ever say, Sergio, ever wonder what Jesus looks like? Hallelujah. Well, they said in the flesh that he was not a handsome. There was nothing distinguishing about Jesus according to the Bible. But in glory, John says, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Anybody know what that is? Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That is the word of God. Say that with me. The word of God that cuts deep into your heart. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Hallelujah. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me saying, do not be afraid. Do not what? Hallelujah. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. John the Beloved, the one whom Jesus loved. And again, last week we saw Noah and Abraham, and there are many more. We went through that. John at the Last Supper didn't understand. Are you with me? The disciple who Jesus loved, he could trust with everything. Hallelujah. Because the Roman Empire wanted to destroy all Christians, there were no churches as we know them. And we said attics, cellars, homes, wherever a believer could meet. And a message to each church. And let's just go over them. A great and powerful church, but losing zeal. He's saying that this church was powerful, but they were losing their energy. They were getting caught up in the world. Amen? That was one church. Another church, poor, suffering church, facing martyrdom. He that was dead, live again. He said this church was dead, but now it's alive again. Amen? How about this church? Amen? If you were here 5.5 years ago, you said this church is in trouble. But we had five people with faith. Five people in faith that stood and said, this church could be alive again. Look around, folks. Look around at this church. Give them praise. There is another church, another area, tolerating teachings of immorality. How many see that in the world? Hallelujah. And another church growing in zeal but tolerating Jezebel. Remember Jezebel in the Bible? She was sexual immorality. Amen. She was all kinds of deviancy, and they were accepting that, trying to accept everybody into the church to get them into the church, accepting all these things, thinking that would make them better. Please. That, how many see that in the world today? Amen. The Bible speaks of that. And there's another church that lived but was dead. And he's telling them to repent. He's simply telling them to repent. Hallelujah. And my favorite church, the Church of Philadelphia. Nobody in this city but faithful. It is my prayer for you, Second Congregational, that we grow so high and so strong that we get so faithful. We do, Gary. We don't worry about the things we can't control because God's got them. If God's got them in his hand, don't open his hand. Let him take care of those situations. You've got a beautiful bride and children. You've got things in your life. God's saying, you take care of that. I'll take care of this. The stronger you get, the less that will affect you. Amen. The stronger that you get in God, the less other things will start to get to you. Amen. The stronger you get, Fred, with the Lord, the less other things will affect you because you'll know that God is in control. You've given God control. How many want to do that? I tell you, to give God control, that means to let go. You let go of the things that are bothering you, and the stress leaves you. The worry leaves you. Yeah, sure, and we're human, and we still want our children to be safe. But the more you give it to God, the more you get stronger. And then when your child needs help, you'll be stronger to help them. The more your friend needs help, Sergio, you'll be stronger to help them. But if we walk around weak and loose and weebly and, oh, my God, oh, my back, we're not going to help anybody. Amen. But the Bible, what says it? Let me see. The Bible says, you focus on God. You be Noah. You be Abraham. You be Joseph. You be David. You be John. And though things come against you, and though it seems like mountains are against you, you're going to stand and be blessed. You're going to rise above it because the Bible says so. And here you are on August the 14th. 15th? 13th. Again, I ask you, how many had problems in May that you were worried about that are gone? How many had problems in May that you thought there was no way you're going to get through it, but you're finding a way through? Amen. How many had sadness in May that you thought, my heart is so sad, I don't know what I'm going to do? And here you are in August, and God is saying, come on, walk with me. I'm going to carry you through. If you just get up and do something. I'll help you do it. You got a dream? Let's live it together. You got a goal? Let's reach it together. Look at what God does for those who love him. I mean, I'm telling you, if you want to meet somebody and talk to him, you want to meet somebody happy, amen. You want to go out and be around people, you want to be around people happy, amen. And you say, boy, I just want to be with them. I want to go out to dinner with them. Why? Because they're happy. Yeah, they got problems. They don't have a brand new car. They got all these, but they're happy. I want to be around happy. I want to be around faithful people. People full of faith. I want what God wants in my life. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. We went from the front to, this is like a Bible study. This is what a Bible study is. This is, hallelujah. The end. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servant the things which must shortly take place. Praise God that we had John. I know the Bible study just went through the book of John. Understand who he is. Understand the man. He was a man of temper. If you don't know it, read in Matthew. He was a man of temper. He got angry when the people turned against Jesus. He wanted to go down into him and his brother to destroy the city. Jesus called them sons of thunder. Amen. He had a temper. Anybody here got a temper? People, oh, that's bad. No, it's how you use it. Jesus called John sons of thunder, him and his brother. Here it is. Behold, I am coming quickly. These are Jesus' words. Listen, I am coming quickly. Blessed. What word is it? Who wants to be blessed? Well, here's how you do it. It's he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. This is so beautiful. And when I heard them, I saw and fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. We probably would all do that if an angel walked in right now. But listen to what the angel, who? not your pastor, not anybody. The angel said to John, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. And he says two words. Guess what they are? Worship God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. A warning. Say that with me. I want you to hear this warning. I want you to think of the world. I want you to hear this warning. And I want you to know that we're going to pray together that whoever comes into this church and walks through this door, we will not do what this warning says. We will be careful to keep this warning alive and well in this church, to know that we want to be right with God. I want each and every one of you to be right with God. I want each and every one of you to be ministers to God. I am your pastor, but I want you to leave here as ministers to God. I want you to be stronger and bring people to this church. I cannot do it alone. We can see the people bring people. You got a friend, bring them here. You got somebody who needs it, somebody who's looking, somebody who's searching, somebody who's hungry. There's plenty of them. Bring them here. But this is the warning. And I pray Second Congregational understand and just stay so strong in this warning. Hallelujah. For I testify to everyone who hears the word, the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from things which are written in this book. Hallelujah. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. Can we be strong in the Lord? Can you walk stronger in the Lord today? I challenge you. No matter what's going on in your life, to look up to God every day, every morning, every night. Talk to him during the day. When you're alone with him, listen, let him talk to you. He will change your life. The word of God. I don't care how many songs we sing. Amen. I can get a whole choir up here. I got enough musicians. I could fill this stage with people singing hallelujah and jumping up and down like this thing. For what? It does nothing for you and it does nothing for me. It does something for the person jumping up and down because they say, look at me, I'm jumping up and down. When you start praising God, you sing Jesus, and she's singing to God. She's singing out of that hymnal. She's singing to who? She's singing words to God. When Joanne's playing the piano, she's playing to who? God. When we're playing, our hearts are to serve God. Every song that we sing, say, how can we reach them today to get them to sing more today? It's not about us. It's about God. Amen. It's not about music. It's about God. It's not about anything except the word of God, because I just read to you out of the word of God, blessed is he who reads the word. Amen. And does those things. You want to be blessed? It's easy. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. I just want you to understand that you got so much to be thankful for and so much to reach for and so many blessings that haven't arrived yet. Amen. Don't let go of the promises. No, you know, this church is alive because we're preaching the word of God. It's alive because you're coming here to be fed. Those that aren't here today, reach out to them and say, come on, the word of God is what changes you. If you want something from God, you have to know God. Amen. God would never have given this book, the Revelation, to any of his other disciples because he knew. They didn't know him like that. He wouldn't have given it to David. He wouldn't have given it to... He gave it to his best friend, the one he knew he could trust. So when you read John, understand who's writing that. When you read Revelation, understand that he was writing that for us, for Second Congregational, to be so excited, to change your life. How many are going through things in life? Everybody does, amen? How many got children going through things in life, amen? So that's even more reason to be stronger in the Lord, to have faith in the Lord, so that when they get healthy, you can raise them up. When they're ready for help, you can raise them up. When you got troubles in your life, you can raise them up. Amen. If you don't know that, you won't have answers for those that you love the most. Amen. God has got blessing after blessing after blessing. Give him praise, church, in this church. So glad we don't cancel church. I get it. I know it's hot, but I'm so glad that the folks make that sacrifice so God can bless you. Amen. When you do, God can bless you back. You made a sacrifice today. We could have called church off and then you would have lost the blessing. And we've all going to gain blessings because we're doing unto God, sacrificing unto God. Beautiful. Lord took the bread and blessed it and broke it. He told us that this was his body being torn for us. The things he did for us, we should just rejoice and say, thank you, Lord. The amazing grace of the cross. to do this in remembrance of him. That's all he asked. He didn't ask you to send $19.95 every week. He didn't ask you. He said to love him. Love his son for what he did for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the joy in this church, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this church, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I know that I'll laugh when I say amen and dismiss, that nobody will leave. As hot as it is, Lord, people will stand and talk because that's the family of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have the time to sit and reflect. We have this beautiful building dedicated to you that's on fire for you, Lord. We don't have the answers, Father. How to make it grow in ways, we're just trying, Lord, every week, every day, we're trying to make it grow to you, Lord. Not to our glory, but to your glory. To see your hand working. To see God's hand working in the flesh, right in our lives. To see it. To see it. And that's what we're looking at, Lord. Forgive us for our impatience to want it to be bigger. Forgive our impatience for wanting it to be done today. Instead of just enjoying the growth, enjoying the gathering, enjoying what you're doing in our lives every day. Forgive us for being impatient, for missing the small blessings along the way, because you're walking right along with us. You're standing right along with us. Your spirit is inside of us to lead us, to bless us. You made it so simple, it's man who has made it complicated. Get back to the simplicity of Christ. Get back to a church where they feed you his word. Call those who aren't here today and say, we really miss you. God misses you. Let the word feed you. Don't be deceived by the deceiver. If you're not in church, you're being deceived by the deceiver. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're doing the Lord's Supper. We're just remembering. Just in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. We do it every Sunday. In the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I would ask you, who's worthy to receive? We are. We're worthy to receive. We love him. We lift him up. We ask God to remove our iniquities. And he did that on the cross. Once for all. As he said, as he poured the wine, this is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. Someday you're going to realize how amazing that truly is. We do this in remembrance of him. This is between you and God, your heart and God. Say, Lord, forgive me today. Help me today. Lead me today. Forgive me for my impatience, for wanting answers today, to prayers today. Instead of enjoying the walk, instead of enjoying the journey, and sometimes the journey will feel like you're walking through fire. But God is carrying you through so that when you get to the other side, you will be stronger. You will have walked with him. You will have put something in with him. You will have put the time with him, the most precious of all things, time that you put in with him, so that when you get to the other side, your faith will be like it never could have believed before. You will be stronger than you ever thought before because you walk through the fire with God each and every day. Fighting through whatever it is you're going through as he carries you through. 3 months ago you were worried about something that here's 3 months later that you had nothing to worry about. Thoughts that were keeping you down when God's saying, stand up. Stand up, I'm with you. Reach out, I'm with you. Tell somebody about me, I'm with you. Don't be ashamed of me, I'll lift you up. I'll heal your land. You will prosper in my name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Open up the book and read one page. Just read. Read from Proverbs. Read from Galatians, for Corinthians. Just read one page and watch God move you to want to read more, to hear more. Oh, when you get that kind of knowledge and you get that kind of understanding, you hunger for more. When things become real, when you see them as real, you realize, I want more of this. I can see it now. I can see the creation. I can see God's perfection. I can see God's hand. I want more. The more you read, whether it be one page, a half a page, you start when you start with God, and He will raise you up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I thought I was praying for great things 5.5 years ago, and I was praying for, compared to what we're talking about now and the knowledge of God and seeing God work now. We started out small, but now we're praying for the most amazing of amazings, the impossibles, and that's where God works. And the unbelievable, that's where God works. And that's where we're praying now. We're rising up, we're rising and looking up to God and reaching up to God for those impossible things today. Where we should be, because our God, our Father in heaven, can do all things. As we remember Jesus did on that cross, that allows us to the throne room of God. In Jesus' name. Hear their hearts, Lord. What they're going through in school, going through at home, with their families, with their friends. Heal their hearts today, Lord. Let them know You are in control. Let them know that the answer might not be exactly the way they want it to be right now, but You're working on it in a way that we can't see. Like the pastor looks out and sees the entire church, God looks down and sees everything. He knows the best answer, the best roads. Let us see that, and let us know that the things we pray the most about are in Your hands, Lord, so that we can do the things we can do each day to be stronger. That's a great prayer in Jesus' name. Give Him praise, church.